Oh, stop. Happy Easter. Oh, boy. Easter, what an incredible day. If you're a guest here today, we just came off a six-week series called Losing My Religion. And I love Easter because there is nothing about religion about the fact that Jesus Christ came and died and rose again for you and I. Amen? That's what Easter is about. Without Easter, I certainly wouldn't be standing here today. I probably wouldn't be alive, for that matter, the kind of life I was living. But Easter happened. New life in Jesus Christ happened. The cross happened. And that's what we're going to talk about today, the cross. The cross, it's a symbol in our society you see all over the place, don't you? Cross necklaces and cross earrings and you name it. I'm guessing half the people or more that wear a cross aren't Christians. Just a guess. They just wear a cross. I was flipping through the channels this week. Now listen, you shouldn't watch this, and I didn't. But I'm flipping through the channels, and I think it was like Jersey Shore came on, an old rerun, and the guy had a big cross necklace on. That's what caught my attention, was the big, huge cross necklace. I'm quite sure that Billy D, or whatever this guy's name was, wasn't a Christian, but he had a big cross on. The cross is just a symbol that we see everywhere. What does the cross mean? Well, it means crucifixion. Crucifixion was, and probably is, just about the worst type of death that there is. You suffocate, your lungs are crushed under your own body weight. Crucifixion was suffering, it was humiliation. And the question is, what does the crucifixion, what does Easter mean to you today? Day to come to church? Is it, it's nice because there's egg hunts and you know that it's always going to rain on Easter and we have some nice food? I grew up in church, and I always knew what Easter stood for, and I kind of believed in God, but you know what? I was always going to live life my way. I was going to be in charge of my life no matter what. And let me in on a secret. I made a horrible God for my life. And if that's you here today, you're a horrible God for your life. And even more dangerous if you're the Christian today who's on the fence. You know, I believe, and I'm saved, but you're kind of living your way. It's dangerous. Let me tell you how that ended up for me. I ended up broke and in prison, and I lost my family, and it became true that as long as I continued to live life how I wanted to live it, that more heartache and more hurt and more pain and eventually hell was going to be the only possible outcome. But then came the cross. Then came surrendering my life to Jesus Christ. And that's what Easter is all about. Not just believing that He exists, it's is He the Lord and Savior of your life? Because God came down and loved you. He took your place in death to forgive you. See, that's the message of today. That's Easter, that you must die to live. You must surrender your heart to Jesus as your Lord. And let Him take over. Because He's always going to be a better God for your life than you are. You must die to live, and that's surrender. That's crucifixion. And today we celebrate the resurrection. See, because the crucifixion and the resurrection are inseparable. These two events are absolutely inseparable. We wouldn't have Easter without the crucifixion, that Jesus loves you and God sent Him to make a way for you, to give you eternal life and to give you life now. And then He rose again, broke the power of death, broke the power of sin. And He still is breaking the power of sin in lives of those who will turn to Him. Just like in your life, death and life are inseparable. The crucifixion and the resurrection are inseparable, and you must die to yourself to be alive for Jesus Christ. See, the vacated cross and the empty tomb are the only thing on planet Earth that ever have and that still have the power to break the chains of sin in your life. To break the power of not only death for all eternity and separation from God, but to break the power of the death that is in your life today if you're not a follower of Jesus Christ. This is why the gospel is good news. And the gospel, I think, is best illustrated by a criminal, a man named Barabbas. So if you have your Bibles today, Barabbas is mentioned in all four gospels. I'm going to read briefly out of Matthew chapter 27. But Barabbas is a man we know nothing about before the events of Easter week, and we know nothing about him after the events. He never speaks a word, but all four Gospels mention him. Matthew 27:16 says this. It says that at that time they had a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. He's called a notorious criminal. That's who Barabbas is. If you think about a notorious criminals throughout history, who do you think of? Al Capone? Do you think of Charles Manson, maybe Adolf Hitler? You think about those that perpetrated the 9/11 attacks. I think of Timothy McVeigh. You remember him? The Oklahoma City bombing. And I know it was 100 and something adults, but that day when he set that bomb off, 19 little children were killed in that explosion. Guy was a criminal. Barabbas is a criminal. He's an ugly, bad man. If he were alive today, he'd be making meth. I guarantee it. He was just a bad guy. He was a criminal. He was a murderer. He was in prison for murder. John said he was also a thief. He had no conscience. And back then, all crimes like this, not just murder, but all of these crimes had the same punishment, and that was death. And guys, it's no different than you might be a good person, but I'll tell you what, our sin, the punishment is death. And then came Easter, and Jesus took our place. So let's talk about Barabbas today. And I want you to keep him in mind because that's who we are. We are sinners. We are fallen. We have chosen wrong. We do. And we deserve death. But then Easter happened. So Barabbas deserved death as well. But Governor Pilate, this was 2,000 years ago, was looking for a way to release Jesus. Because Jesus was innocent. So he thought he'd release a Jewish prisoner to the people during Passover. Now the prison where Barabbas was about 600 yards from where the trial of Jesus was taking place. Now back then he wasn't all locked down, but Barabbas was in a prison, okay? And so where the trial was going on, Barabbas could hear the crowd. So here he is in this cell, he's a murderer, he's a thief, he's convicted. He knows he's about to be crucified. The worst possible death. And so what was going on at that trial was that Pilate was asking the people, whom shall I release, Jesus or Barabbas? And the people were yelling, Barabbas! And then Pilate was saying, what shall I do with Jesus? And the people were yelling, crucify him! So what did Barabbas hear from his prison cell? He heard, Barabbas, crucify him! Barabbas, crucify him! So he's like, I'm dead. I'm done. I deserve it. That's all that he heard. So he concludes, Barabbas does, that, you know what, I'm dead. And here comes the Roman soldiers down the hallway. The prison cell door opens and they look at him and they say, you're free to go. Can you imagine the shock that Barabbas had right then? Now this story angers me because why? Because it's not fair. And we like fair, don't we? We like justice. We like things to be fair and right. And we know that things aren't always fair. If things were fair, you and I would die for our sin. We would spend eternity separated from God if things were just fair, because God is a fair God. That's why He sent Jesus. That's why we have Easter. But we don't like when things aren't fair. My kids, my younger kids especially, besides I want or can I, the thing they say most is not fair. Something happens, you know, it's like one of their siblings gets something. No, it's not fair. And I know that you guys like justice as well. You guys like things to be fair, right? Why do you guys go to movies? Because in the end, the good guy wins and the bad guy loses. Why is Law and Order on 8 channels 24 hours a day? Some of you DVR it. I'm like, don't DVR it. It's going to be on again and again and again. Because every episode ends with bad guy gets caught, justice happens. So we like justice. Well, what happened to Jesus was the most unjust thing that's ever happened in human history. Jesus came to save and to love, and look what happened to him. Pilate said several times he had no basis to charge Jesus with anything. The thief on the cross said, this man has done no wrong. Compare Jesus and Barabbas. Jesus had no charge. Barabbas was a thief and murderer habitually. Jesus healed others. Barabbas robbed and murdered others. This was not fair. He got to go free and Jesus had to go to the cross and be crucified. It's just like, here's the take for Easter 2016. For every one of you here today and for me, that's the deal. Jesus took your place when he went to the cross. And he rose again to not only give you new life, but to give you life now. But Barabbas is also relevant to you here today and to I. Because he had a second chance, a new life. His chains were taken off. He was set free and he was free to go. And for you here today that have made a decision to follow Jesus Christ with your life, Barabbas is relevant to you. And we'll get that to that in a moment. But if you're here today and you've never accepted God's free gift of grace, if you've never opened your heart to Jesus, to being your Lord and Savior, and started to live a new life in Him, you know that you deserve death because you're a sinner. I'm a sinner. We're all sinners. But that's why we celebrate Easter. Jesus took your place, just like He did for Barabbas 2,000 years ago. 1 Peter 3 says this, it says, "For Jesus suffered once for the sins, for the just and the unjust, that He would bring us to God and put to death our life in the flesh and be made alive by His Spirit." Guys, if you're here today, there's one of two things. There's nothing in the middle. You have surrendered your heart and life to Jesus as your Lord and Savior, or you haven't. For some of you, you have, but that no longer is the guiding force in your life. For some of you, you never have, and you don't know what it's like to be forgiven, to be free, to have a new life, to be set free from your guilt and from your shame. The Bible says if you're in Jesus, you're a new creation, brand new. Let me tell you, He made me brand new before, and there's nothing like it. And if you've never experienced that, you're going to have a chance to before you leave today. Jesus took your place on the cross. That's Easter, so that you could be forgiven and free and have joy and have peace. Barabbas was instantly free. The prison door was open and he had a new chance at life. And guys, I wonder what happened to Barabbas. You know, the Bible never says. It never says if he went out and continued to murder and rob and steal and be a bad guy. What I hope happened, what I think probably might have happened, was he stuck around and watched the crucifixion and was around for the resurrection. And I'll tell you what, when he got free, I bet he muttered the words, whether he went good or stayed bad, I bet he at some point muttered the words, "Thank you, Jesus." Because Jesus took his place. Is that your life today? Can you say, "Thank you, Jesus. You have forgiven me. You have given me new life. You have saved me. You have made me alive again. You have set me free." And if you're a Christian already here today, I got to ask you on Easter, what are you doing with your second chance? What are you doing with that amazing grace that God's giving you? Yeah, I know. Do you? Does that show in your life? Does that show in how you treat others? Does that show in your church attendance? Does that show in your home? Does that show in your heart? Could you imagine if Barabbas would have went from there and been like, "Yeah, great, I'm free," and he would have robbed someplace and murdered someone else within the next month, and now he's back in prison, he gets crucified anyway. What a waste! Are you wasting your grace? And if you've never said yes to Jesus, you don't know what that freedom feels like. You don't know what that joy feels like. I'll say this, the cross made all the difference in my life. Surrendering my life to Jesus saved my soul and my life and my marriage. I was a mess. I'd lost my family, deservedly so, until I regave my life to Christ and our marriage was redeemed. And some years later, our son was born. He's now 6 years old. And I'll tell you this, we almost lost him this week. Let me tell you a quick story. First of all, did you guys know that Shoney's still exists? Remember the Shoney's restaurant? Now, I'm 39, so Shoney's used to be good, right? We used to say it was a big treat on family vacation. You get to go to the Shoney's breakfast buffet. And let me tell you, we hurt those places. But Shoney's was always a big thing. Well, I didn't know they still existed. So we're driving down through Kentucky this week. And I got to be careful because most of you are from Kentucky because it's Hoopston. No, really. Every 3 or 4 miles is a Dollar General and a flea market. I'm telling you, where we were, that was the case. And that's not bad, but it's true. But we came across a Shoney's. And by then, the kids were dying of hunger. So we said, "Oh, we'll stop. It's a Shoney's." So I like pull up my Yelp, and it's got like 1 star. I'm like, uh-oh. Well, we're hungry. So we go into Shoney's, and it's a buffet. I'm like, "I'm going to order off the menu." And Carl's like, "Let's just get the buffet. We're in a hurry." I'm like, "Okay, we'll get the buffet." Well, up at the buffet were some people who liked buffets. I'll say it nicely. And I mean to tell you, they were like boxing me out. I couldn't even get to the mashed potatoes. This was quite a scene, I'm telling you. But, excuse me, as I'm up at the buffet, I begin to hear this commotion. And apparently the people at Shoney's decided not to take the bones out of their barbecue chicken, like it's supposed to be pulled. Well, it was pulled, but they left the bones. And so I look over and I hear this awful noise. And my 6-year-old son has a chicken bone stuck in his throat. And I mean, he is choking. His face is red. And I'm like, Carla's starting to panic, which I'm like, well, let me give it a minute. Before I can even begin to pray, It was just a disgusting event that I won't tell you, but thankfully he got the chicken bone up and he's alive. If you're a parent, have you ever had that moment? You ever thought you've lost your kid at like a grocery store or something? It just makes me think of how uncertain and how short life is. And how you just take for granted that you're going to have tomorrow and the next day, or that Jesus won't come again, or that something won't happen. But guys, eternity is forever. And I have to ask you this Easter, if you died today and you could, I could, where would you spend your eternity? Do you need to turn your heart back to Jesus Christ? Do you need to, for the first time, say yes to his gift of salvation? That he took the place and took your sin upon him, and you need to be forgiven from your sins and just say yes to him and to be made new? If you've never experienced this amazing grace, you have no idea what you're missing. For the first 30 years of my life, 30 plus, I did it my way. And let me tell you, I've never had a day go by since Jesus became my Lord that wasn't better than any one of those. Amen. And if you've never experienced that, do you think I'm lying to you? Do you think that Easter didn't happen? Do you think the Bible isn't true? It is. And you need Jesus as the Lord and Savior of your life. It's a free gift. All you have to do is say yes. If you're here today just because it's Easter, whatever you thought about church, it's full of messed up people or hypocrites or any of these things. There's a little truth to that because we're not perfect. But let me tell you, when I turned my life to Jesus, the next best thing I ever did was turn and be part of church. Because I need you, you need me, we need each other. Life can be tough, but here's a promise. If you respond and say yes to Jesus today, he will make you brand new. You will begin a life that is better than you could ever imagine. You can be free, you can be forgiven, you can feel joy and happiness again. Let me give you a good example. I have a 15, a 10, and a 6-year-old, and especially when they were younger, but even still now, do you guys look at your kids or look at kids and just look at the joy that they experience? They hop up in the morning and they're just happy most of the time. Just that joy, that anticipation, that excitement. Most of you here today, you've lost that. You haven't felt that in a long time. Sometimes that's because of our own sinful decisions. I can relate to that 100%. Sometimes that's just life. Sometimes you get older and stuff hurts. Life happens. Finances happen. Health happens. Relationships happen. We lose our temper. We say things. We do things. It just happens. But the Bible says that you, to go to heaven, must be converted and be like a little child. Little children trust. You've got to trust God. You've got to say yes to Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Let me tell you something. The life of a new Christian that I lived at 30, 31 years old, I was like a little child. I was brand new. I felt joy again. I felt hope at each new day. I hadn't felt hope in a long time. I didn't feel much of anything. And some of you, that's you today. Life's just made you numb. But because of Jesus Christ and what he did and the power that rose him from the grave, if you'll give him your heart, if you'll say yes to him, you can experience that again. That joy and that hope and that peace and that freedom and that expectation. Some of you, you're just guilty. You live with shame. You've had stuff happen in your life that is horrible. Jesus, and only Jesus, can heal you from that. Would you guys stand with me today? Easter also means we have to watch our time because there's another service at 11. And there was at 9. But guys, here today in just one moment, several people are going to share their testimony. What they were before Jesus and then what they are after Jesus. The difference that he made, the difference that the cross made, the difference, the fact that Jesus took their place and they decided to die to themselves and become alive to Jesus as their Lord and Savior. You know how they did that? For most of them and for me, it was in a church. It was at the end of a sermon. They come up and the pastor or someone prays with them and they say, I need to be forgiven. I need to give my heart to Jesus. I want to be a Christian. I want to know where I'm going to spend my eternity. I need help in my marriage. I need help in my life. I need help with forgiveness. Whatever it is, the question today is, will you respond to Jesus' love, to his invitation to begin a new life in him? Think of Barabbas when that prison door opened. And he's like, I'm dead. No, sir, you're free to go. Amen. That freedom, that release, that relief, that the guilt being gone, I'm free to go. Some of you today, you need to experience that. You need to be set free. You need to make sure that your soul is saved. You need to know Jesus as the Lord and Savior of your life. And so what we're going to do today is some are going to share their testimony, the difference at the cross, the difference that Jesus meant in their life. And as the music is playing and they're doing that, guys, I'm going to invite you to come up front. And if you want to pray to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you want to pray about anything at all, but especially that you would ask Jesus to forgive you, that you would ask Him to set you free and to give you hope and to make you new and to let you feel joy or to feel anything again, you're invited to come up front and we'll pray with you as the music plays. Would you bow your heads with me? Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name we come to you today, and I pray, God, right now, Lord, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead 2,000 years ago, you would work in our hearts, because there are some of us in here today that need to get real about where our eternity is going to be and to get real about the fact that we need forgiven, we need help, we need Jesus. And He, this man, just loves each and every one here. So I pray we would respond to this invitation that Jesus gave 2,000 years ago and He gives again here today, which is, come to me if you're just tired and you need some rest, you need some peace, you need to be new, you need to be forgiven. Come to me, Jesus says.